you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome back to episode 124 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as usual. My guest today is a good friend of mine and a frequent guest here on The Law Entrepreneur. In fact, he holds the record for most appearances, and that's my friend Victor Medina. I've asked him to come on the show today to talk directly about MacTrack Legal, the conference that I have been spending a lot of time lately talking about and urging you to attend. And so I wanted you to hear directly from Victor specifically what this conference is all about and how the emphasis this year is going to be on mobile computing and the iOS platform, iOS operating system, and the platforms found on the iPhone and iPad. So it's not exactly Apple-centric, because I know a lot of Windows-based users also have an iPhone or an iPad. So you'll be sure to get a lot out of it if you come to the conference, regardless of whether you actually use an Apple laptop or desktop computer as your main computing platform. So Victor was on before. He was on episode number 3. I urge you to go back all the way back, several years ago when we did episode number 3, talking about how he built his practice, his estate planning practice up in New Jersey. Then we had him on again in episode number 75 because he wrote a book, wrote a couple of them actually, and he talked about the process of how to write a book and the tools and techniques that he used to create those two products. Then recently I had him on episode 104 because I wanted to talk about video marketing and how to create videos to use in your law practice. And Victor is a wizard at that. Aside from his law practice, he's also the host of his own podcast called Make It Last, which is a financial podcast because, again, aside from being an attorney, Victor is also a financial planner and the creator of a company called Private Client Capital Group. So he's a very smart guy. And as I said, I may be an Apple fanboy, but I really want to grow up to be Victor Medina. So without any further delay, let's talk to my friend Victor. Victor Medina, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey, thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me back. I'm a pleasure.
You're just setting the record so far out there for number of appearances on the show that I don't think anybody's going to catch you. Victor, I'm going to dispense with the who are you and how did you get to where you are today, because as I said, been on a guest of the show, a friend of the show for a number of years here. So I'll just get right to the heart of the matter. One of the reasons I asked you to come back on this time around is, again, I want to talk about my single favorite conference of all time, and that's MacTrack Legal coming up here in September. Victor is the host of MacTrack Legal, the founder, the guiding light behind it. So who better to have on the show to talk about the conference than you yourself? So tell us a little bit about MacTrack Legal, how it came to be, what its purpose is, and what you hope to get out of it.
Yeah, sure. And I got to tell you, it's really heartwarming to hear you talk about it in those terms, because when it started, we're going to be celebrating our 10th conference, this conference. I can't believe that we got to 10. When I started it 10 years ago, it was really a conference that I designed as something that I wanted to attend. I mean, it was less about putting something on than it was really about having a conference to go to that I would love. And the hope was that people would be like you, that they would think about it as the single best conference that they go to on an annual basis. And so it delights me to hear that because it means that we're achieving some of that goal in terms of the number of times that you've been there. And really, in terms of the attendance, we have so many people like you that are not just repeat, like they've been once or twice, but multiple and multiple times. I mean, we've got people that have been there all 10 years. And so what we're doing this year, just to get the hard numbers around it, and then kind of want to go and just talk to you about other stuff, but it's September 27th through the 29th. So we're, you know, within that sphere to book the airline tickets and make sure that you clear out your calendar to be there. And it's going to be at Disney World again. It's going to be at Disney Yacht and Beach Club again. It's going to be during the Food and Wine Festival again, which I think maybe my favorite kind of little collateral benefit is to go and walk to Epcot from the hotel and then go dig and nosh on what they have at the Food and Wine Festival. But this year, we're doing a little bit something different. And it's not like wildly different. Oh, my goodness, it's going to be a different conference. You know, when we started 10 years ago, it was a Mac conference for Mac users. And so the idea was, well, what could we use on our desktop to make our lives better? And then we brought in all this practice management and life hacking stuff and really try to make it interesting. And what I realized is that we needed to make a pivot in the way that we were creating the conference. So this year, there's a big emphasis on mobile computing and the iOS platform. Now, that gives us a halo because even if you weren't a Mac lawyer before, you probably are an iPad or an iPhone lawyer. I mean, the largest percentage of people are using one of those two devices. And maybe you got it at home and not in the practice. But wouldn't it be nice if you were able to use it that way? So a lot more of the programming in these 3 days is going to be focused on really how do we integrate these devices into our lives and our practice in a way that can bring us to the next level.
Well, I think it's really kind of an important aspect of the changes that you're making because, you know, when I look at the mobile platform, iOS for the iPhone and iPad, to me, that's kind of a straddling technology because, as you know, us Apple geeks, of course, we're going to have an iPhone and an iPad to go along with our desktop or laptop computers. But what I find is really interesting is those that are committed to the Windows environment also frequently have an iOS device. And more, that's becoming a seamless integration. People are being able to use all of those platforms interchangeably. So you're not committed to one ecosphere or another. And so the idea of being able to talk about mobile computing in the legal space bridges, you know, those two camps, whether you're an Apple guy or a Windows person.
And what it's done for me, I mean, part of the drive for this is kind of a reflection over the last year. There are more and more evenings that I go home just with my iPad in my hand. And no client files. And more importantly, you know, blasphemy for our kind of faith and religion, no laptop, no Mac laptop, no MacBook, no MacBook Pro, nothing that is the actual computer. It's just the iPad. So there's nothing that identifies me as the Apple fanboy that I am, other than the fact that I've got the iPad. I could be a Windows guy and it wouldn't matter because that's all I'm going home with. And that's all I'm going on vacation with. That's all I'm going to work conferences with. It is that device, and it is an extension of me in the way that I'm able to run my practice.
Did you consciously make that decision to become iOS independent, or did it just kind of grow up organically?
I think the answer is yes to both parts of the question. And what I mean by that is that for the last year, within the coaching program that I'm in, one of my quarterly goals is to design a practice where it's possible to just have my iOS device. So it meant looking at the infrastructure of the practice generally. How do we handle workflow? What technologies do we adopt? What can we bring in that makes that possible, not just for me, but for other people as well, other of our team members, that they can work remotely and mobile. So in that one sense, it was something that was deliberate.
All right.
But it wasn't something that I necessarily set out to do. It was more things started to click open. It's like, oh my goodness, I actually don't need the device for this. And then I started to build on it where it was like, well, is it possible to do the thing that I thought I needed the laptop for? Can I just do it there? And then I started to work on those pieces to start to fill them in. And my goal is, I mean, I'm almost there. There are times that I still need what I call the truck. I still need the truck, but I like driving the sports car. The iPad, I like the Ferrari. I want to be in the Ferrari all the time. I don't want the Ridgeline or I don't want the F-150. But there are times where I need it. And the real question is, can I minimize those? Can I reduce them? Can I limit them to my interactions in the office that are predetermined, predictable, so that I can design a life around my practice that serves my life and not my life not serving the practice.
Yeah, I think the decision point has been shifting for years now, because I know when I first opened my practice, you know, I know the products that I was going to use, but the decision was, well, do I get a desktop and a laptop? Right. And so, of course, I got to the desktop because I wanted to have a real office environment. And the laptop was just my own personal laptop, wasn't the firm's laptop. Okay. And then that kind of started shifting, and I started doing more and more on the laptop and had the desktop turned off. Now that decision point is shifting even further. Do I get an iPad, use an iPad and a laptop, or can I just get away with just an iPad?
Yeah, and you'll soon face the decision that I've read a couple of blog posts on. It's like, well, do I get the 12-inch version or the 10.5, or do I need both? Maybe I'll have two iPads and I'll be dueling on those iPads. Isn't it interesting? And I think what happens too, Neil, and I don't want to wax too philosophical on this point, but you start to think about your practice differently when you start to live in one of those worlds. So, for instance, your migration from desktop to laptop, we're starting to think about things within the context of, well, do I want to be a mobile lawyer? And how can I be a mobile lawyer and be untethered to my office as though I grow? The decision between laptop and an iOS device, a tablet, or something else more mobile than that, is not about mobility any longer, or working mobily. It's really about designing a practice that serves working within that platform. Can I be, and this is going to sound way fanboy, but can I be jazzier about what I do? You know, is it possible for me to snap a picture of a court order, sign it there, distribute it to everybody, and I don't have to worry about the fact, because back in the day, I don't know about you, but I started buying the ScanSnap S1100 because it was a mobile one-page scanner that I could go ahead and feed pages into. I remember, right. You know, yeah, and you could travel with it. It wasn't a desktop scanner, it was a mobile scanner. Well, now with the iOS, I didn't have to do that. I snap a picture, it instantly becomes PDF. I can scan, save it. I can distribute it to everybody. It's got mobile cellular. You know, you just start thinking and conceiving of your practice differently as you start to be open to the idea that you're moving from one to the other.
And one of the things that I've noticed in interviewing folks for this show is that more and more attorneys are becoming less desktop dependent. So they can apply their practice, you know, darn near anywhere they are, from the Starbucks to the courtroom to, you know, the front seat of their car. And there's no boundaries, there's no limits as to where they can conduct business. And that seems to be moving at an exponential rate to the point where I'm beginning to wonder in some cases whether or not having a physical presence is the future of our industry, or whether it's not all going to be mobile.
Yeah, and what's interesting, I think, too, is that when you start to bring this concept of being mobile and, okay, well, what does mobile really mean? Does it mean a laptop versus iOS? And is it an iOS or is it one of them? And are you cellular? Part and parcel of wanting to continue to grow and learn. You know, at some point in time, I always liken it to fashion. You get off the fashion train, and that's just kind of where you are. It may be in the 1980s, maybe it's the 1990s, maybe the early 2000s. It's the same thing with technology. If you stay on the ride, you will continue to evolve, and that will bring you kind of at the forefront of just thinking about things in a novel way that you stay fresh. There are people that are stale. We know lawyers that are still on WordPerfect on a DOS machine, and they're just hoping that piece doesn't burn out because they don't know what to do next. And then there are the other people that are, I don't want to say the words cutting edge, because I really don't think about it as risky in the sense that you might get cut on the cutting edge. Right. But there are people that want to continue to grow, and the way that you do that and the intersection between technology and practice is really on how mobile these devices are and what can you use as the next tool that brings you to the next level. I'll give you an example. I was introduced to an immigration lawyer that does sort of federal sound, but they're related to domestic violence. So they're making claims, you know, for that are safety related, that are part of the immigration. Well, many times those people have a very difficult time finding space and time to do interviews to put together the package to go in. So this lawyer essentially created a system and strategy where she FedExes an Android device that allows her to Skype with whoever's in there. It's all preloaded with all of the software. They're sent the code, and there's a prepackaged FedEx when it comes back in. I think she puts like a $100 deposit so they don't keep it, or if they do keep it, that she's not out any money. But she's thinking about her practice in a way that serves her client base beyond the way they were being served before. She's helping these people that were going to be stuck, but for her novel thoughts on how to integrate technology into the practice.
Well, and I think to a large extent, our clients are driving us in that direction because the clients themselves are more mobile. And, you know, they're on their mobile devices all the time. So if your office can't relate to that or can't address that, you know, you're not serving the needs of the client base. And I think as a result of all of that, a conference such as MacTrack Legal has to address the changing nature of the legal space and the technology that supports it. So that's why I'm really excited. Well, I'm always excited about MacTrack Legal, but I'm really excited to see the emphasis this go around on just that, on the mobile platforms.
And as we've drafted the agenda for this year, I can just turn the conversation to the conference real quick. You know, part of it has been a blend of, so the audience that comes to MacTrack tends to come from different practice models. Some people are very self-reliant and trying to do everything on their own. And so we've got to serve an education need to move them along in what they're doing. And then there's another form of person who comes to the conference, a practitioner, that's working on a team-based model and is trying to figure out how can they manage the firm in that way, whether it's managing somebody that is actually there working all the time or managing a team that's virtual, something like that. How can they collaborate with others? And so as we've drafted the agenda, it's a nice blend of all of that. So what do we have? We've got sessions on task management. You know, how do we stay on top of what we need to do when where we need to do it or what is the trigger can come from so many different places? Could be coming from an email. Does it arrive only on the desktop? How do you have to structure it so it's there with you when you need it? You know, it's not just about an app, but really about thinking about this in different terms. So similarly, what we do for many practitioners is we share and collaborate with other lawyers or people on the outside. But then on the other end, you know, we're talking about, you know, how to bring your practice as a manager to that level that you can be mobile. And so I'm really encouraged to have the founder and the CEO president of Market Circle that develops a software for case management, product management that's largely for the Mac. He took his company essentially mobile only, where people are dispersed, they are working remote. He's had to think about the entire practice in a different way. And I think he's going to have a lot to share with the attendees for ways to be thinking about where you can bring your practice to serve something similar, because it has served business goals for him. It has served personal life goals. It serves the health and well-being of his team. They're happier and more productive because of the changes. But it wasn't something because they just stay at home with a laptop. They had to be thought about in a completely different way. So I'm really happy that AG is going to be coming and, you know, have an opportunity to share some of the thoughts that he has been able to use and implement as he's brought his business in that direction.
Yeah, just for those sharp listeners there, Victor's talking about AJ Jetha, who is the founder of Market Circle, which just so happens to be a major sponsor here.
Law Entrepreneur. Free plug.
So I'm sure AJ is going to be thrilled with that. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to manage my practice. If you're feeling swamped trying to keep track of cases and clients, but you don't want to pay the hefty price tag of something like Salesforce or other legal-specific tools, I recommend you give Daylight a look. Daylight helps me prioritize my day. It helps me keep track of my clients, cases, documents, emails, calendars, to-dos, and reminders, all in one place. The case management part of Daylight makes it really easy to organize all the details and work for each case so things are done on time. The best part of Daylight is that it lets you work offline. You don't need an internet connection to pull up case details or info about a client like with other CRMs and case management tools. And new in Daylight is their Zapier integration, so you can automate things like pulling new leads from a contact form on your website right into Daylight. And for techies like me, you know that integration with tools like Zapier is really fundamental to making something like Daylight work the way you want it to work. So to learn how Daylight can help you grow your practice, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first month subscription. That's Daylight by Market Circle. The legal environment is more competitive than ever, and small law firms are feeling the pinch. With over 1.3 million attorneys in the United States and counting, it can be hard to stand out from the crowd. And that's why Spotlight Branding helps lawyers become unforgettable. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of internet marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel, and they don't ask them to burn thousands of dollars on speculative pay-per-click advertising. Instead, they're focused on the fundamentals of legal marketing that have worked for dozens upon dozens of years. They use the internet to build a premium brand for solo and small firm lawyers like myself, and they put systems in place to create top-of-mind awareness, allowing their clients to maximize the referrals and repeat business. It's the smart way to grow your law firm. To get more information, visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, and receive a special gift from our friends there at Spotlight Branding. Spotlight Branding, helping lawyers become unforgettable. You know, I think it's also, as I look at the agenda, and if people want to follow along, they can go to MacTrackLegal.com and you can take a peek at the agenda for the upcoming conference. But one of the things I like is that you mix in a nice blend of, you know, hands-on, nitty-gritty, detail-oriented, sure to give you a takeaway session with some other sessions that are more, you know, kind of globally oriented or more, I can't think of the exact word, but that look at it from a higher level from a more broad perspective. So it's that nice blend.
Yeah, and I like to think about it this way. Yeah, I want to give you a recipe to follow so that you can cook something when you get home, right? And so there's going to be some of those elements on the kind of nitty gritty what to do. I also want to hit you right in between the eyes and you not feel it till you get home or a few days later. I want to bring you into the world about thinking about things in a different way. And I understand that you're not going to make a monumental shift in your life in that moment. But I'm going to plant a seed, and that seed may take time to germinate, but I have full faith that if you water and nurture it, you're going to end up in a better place. So whether it's having somebody talk about time management generally, or starting to think about, you know, those kinds of ideas, they're going to take root a little bit later.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, the example I was going to point to. You have Carrie Moss talking about time management for attorneys, and I'll just, you know, confess my own shortcomings here. I have the most beautiful to-do list and calendar system, you know, imaginable. I spend an inordinate amount of time working on my to-do list and color coding my calendar and just, you know, doing all those nitty gritty details. But the overall concept of time management is one that I still struggle with. So I have a really pretty picture of a very confused state.
Yeah, the deck chairs on the Titanic have never looked better. They're
never
really in order,
more polished,
shiny. Yeah, and I think that that's a good just sort of one specific example that will be applied across, you know, different things in the agenda of where we want to take that knowledge base and what we're educating people on and really bring it to the practical and the usable. Because I don't think that the concept of time management is properly put in context, because most people see it as ways to do more crap. And the last thing that they want to do is have more crap on their plates to eat, you know. But the way we're thinking about it, the way that Carrie's going to give that presentation, is really about having it serve a great life. How can you free up what you're doing to be more effective so that you can do the other stuff that you actually like, the stuff that serves your soul and nourishes it, how you can stay nourished and fed so that when you come back to the work, you have the energy that needs to really get that stuff done or to be thinking about it in a novel way or to make the progress that you need to. And I know that this sounds like happy Tony Robbins platitude, but I've seen it work in my own practice. You know, I'll share something both personal and sad, but it's a necessary story. So recently, my mom got diagnosed with a stage 4 lung cancer.
Yeah.
And that brought me out of the practice where I was kind of taking an hour and a half drives up to New York City to be with her at Sloan Kettering. And I was doing it 3 or 4 times a week towards the beginning. And what it meant is that I had to pull myself almost entirely out of my practice. Now, I just happened to be, and I'm the only lawyer here. There's no other backup besides me for the legal part of the work. I happened to be over the last 2 or 3 years working very hard at removing myself from the instrumental parts of what we do, client generation, implementation, things that were necessary for the practice to stay afloat. But it brought to bear this concept that I needed to have a life outside of what the practice is. The practice couldn't be dependent on it. If I had not worked on these other parts of it, I would not be in a position to be able to serve my mom in that way and to develop that relationship in that fashion. And so I got very fortunate that we did that work ahead of time. And the lesson that I want to give to other people is how essential that is to do, because we don't know when that next thing is coming. We didn't anticipate it for my mom. It was nothing that was on the horizon. It changed from one Thursday to the next Tuesday, and I had to be out in order to help her doing what she did needed to get done. And if I hadn't done that work, this work that I'm trying to teach within this agenda and share with other people, I don't know that I would have had a practice to come back to, or she wouldn't have had a son to join her with that.
Yeah, it's and you know, obviously, I'm sorry to hear what you and your mom are going through, having, you know, unfortunately been through it myself. But it's encouraging when we spend a lot of time talking about how to set our practice up such that it can run without us, and can, you don't have to be part of the hero mentality, and you can create teams and systems and processes and procedures. And it's really encouraging, although it's sad how it came about, when you get put to the test to find out whether or not all that groundwork pays off.
Yeah, I agree with you that, you know, this is a very small silver lining on a really terrible situation. Yeah. But it is rewarding in some sense to say it wasn't for shit. Like, I didn't go out and do that and was worth nothing. When the time came to bear and I had to put that plan into effect, it turned out that it worked out okay. And I wouldn't have been okay if I hadn't had to do that. And I don't mean to be sort of so waxing hyperbolic on the conference itself, but that was the culmination of 9 years of this kind of education that was going on in the conference. Everything that was in there, how to be not digitally distracted, those were sessions that were in there. You know, task management, how to do work, review, Bernie on his Microsoft Word on the iPad, and how to, I mean, those from the nitty gritty on the technology and the apps to the more kind of just heady stuff about practice management, that was all of that together. It just happened to come after all of it happening, but that was the culmination of all of that education and then some of the implementation necessary, you know, after just being shown what to do, actually going out and doing it. Had it not been for that, I'm not sure that it would have worked.
Yeah.
And there were times, you know, where I was up there where I had nothing to do. Guess what? What I had with me was my iPad. And so I wasn't completely disengaged, but when there was something that was necessary, I was the picture of what this agenda is trying to lead people towards.
One of the things I've been struggling with understanding myself is how to set up our practice and our systems and technology so that even, God forbid, you go further than that and the key attorney in the practice, you know, it happens all the time, passes away.
Sure.
And so how prepared are we as practitioners for that kind of thing? And I, that's why I think a conference like Backtrack Legal, which addresses not just the technology part, but also kind of the process part, things like mindfulness, how do you calm your mind and become centered again? You know, Mark Metzger is going to do another presentation on that subject. And things like Juliana Maria is going to be presenting on how to do small incremental improvements to achieve large goals. Those things are so important for tackling those gigantic tasks, yeah, such as succession planning and what to do if mom gets ill.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm so happy to see that Juliana's giving another presentation. Of course, I asked her to do that, but I'm so pleased that she had that to share because, you know, as she runs our team here, she's so instrumental in our success and the direction that we've been able to grow and the things that we're able to achieve in the future. She will be an instrumental part of doing that. That presentation that she's going to be giving, the one about sort of making small shifts, people need to understand the power of that, because most people believe that things are going to change when you make monumental shifts, that you move from the right hand all the way 180 degrees to the other direction, and it's not there. It's in the practice and habit that gets you to move 2 degrees at a time. And before you look up, it'll be 6 months later and you'll be where you wanted to be. But if you thought about having to do all of that at one shot and then trying to bring anybody that's on your team in that direction, good luck. I've been trying to drive that. I tried to drive that speedboat early in my career. And guess what? I'm driving an aircraft carrier these days. I need miles of lead time in order to make any form of a turn, or else I'm going to throw everybody off the boat otherwise. Yeah. And so that's going to be a really great presentation.
Well, I can't wait. You know, again, I go through this every year. I look at it. I think, well, which are the presentations I'm going to enjoy the most? And I start highlighting them and, you know, color coding, as I said, my life. And this agenda, which I invite everybody to look at and make their decision about possibly attending, is one that I'm very excited to be a part of and to take advantage of. So tell our audience a little bit one more time about how they can go about finding out more about MacTrack Legal and hopefully signing up to come join us.
Well, and I'd like to do one more thing too, Neil, which is that I want to offer your listeners a coupon code. So you've done a great service. Yeah, you've done a great service in helping people who want to think about lawyers, want to think about their practices as businesses and really take that next step. And I want to encourage people who are into it as much as they are, as you all are, those of you listening, to really take advantage of something like this. So I want to make it a little bit more affordable. When you go to check out, there's going to be an opportunity to put a discount code in there. And then if you just put TLE for the law entrepreneur, just the letter TLE, that's going to give you a coupon code that's going to take $75 off the registration fee, right?
That's awesome.
So you can go and do that anytime. So the way that you do learn more about the conference, the speakers, the agenda, where it's happening, how to register, is you go to the website MacTrackLegal.com, and that's MacTrackLegal.com. And from there, there'll be a set for the agenda. You go day one, day two, day three. You can click on it, get some more details about the description. And then there's going to be a register button on there. If you go to the register button, it's going to bring you to an Eventbrite link. And then you kind of follow the steps for there. Make sure you use the coupon code TLE and get a little dollars off so that you can spend that money at Epcot at the Food and Wine Festival. I don't want it to go in your pocket, but you got to use it somehow.
I've also made the offer to our listeners in our Facebook group as well as our mailing list that if you identify yourself as a TLE listener, come meet me at one of the adult watering holes, and I'll be happy to thank you for your patronage.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Yeah, no, and look, the time's coming. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're kind of thinking about whether or not it's at all striking for you a chord that says, maybe I'm interested, I have never, and this is my own dollars in here, right? So I have never spent money for an opportunity to learn something and not walked away with at least that much that I put down that I could bring back to my office and use in my own practice. And I'm going to make that same commitment that in this kind of a conference, where all we're doing is thinking about how to make your practice better and what we can do that, it's going to be very, very hard for you to walk away without something that's worth, you know, two or three times worth what you had to spend to be here. And I think, and I just want to make this point because I almost feel compelled to do that. This conference that I put on does not pay my bills in any sense of the word. Here's what it does. It makes it so that I could go for free for all the work that I put in. I go for free. Juliana goes for free. I don't have to pay money to be there, but I don't make anything, and it doesn't put food on my kids' plates or anything like that. I do it out of a labor of love because I really am committed to, one, helping the lives of other people and practitioners, lawyers, and people who serve them be better, and I like going to the conference. So the other reason that I do is because I want something to go to that's going to be great. And so I'm, you know, personally committed in making sure that it's something that is worth attending, because otherwise I'd rather stay home for those 3 days.
And, you know, just along the same lines, you know, I pitch this conference all the time, you know, year round. I don't get a penny from it. I do it because I love the conference, love you, and I love what the people that go there. So honestly, It's the best thing that I go to. I mean, I go to a bunch of conferences, probably too many, but this is the one that I've been to the most often. It's the one that I enjoy the most. It's the one I get the most out of. So I'm looking forward to it. So we're not going to have a hurricane though this year, right?
I'm hoping not. I mean, we ordered against it. I put some money down. I brought a big man. You know, I'm hoping that it doesn't happen. If it does happen, though, and like we did in the prior years, we were able to get all the sessions in. We were just kind of dodging any tree branches that were flying across as we moved from one building to the other.
It was a lot more pleasant than you would have expected under those circumstances.
And a few good watering holes, too. I think we spent some time by the bars. They kept them open late night for us.
We did. I did notice that when they shut down Disney, when we were there for the last time when there was a hurricane, the only thing they ran out of, and they ran out of it in the first day, was white wine.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And they said it was because so many families were stuck in the hotel room with their kids. The moms were all ordering white wine. So I don't know if that's I don't know if that's true or not, but anecdotally, that's what I heard.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah. Well, Neil, thanks so much for having me on again. I mean, I love coming on to your show because I love talking about what it takes to build a great practice and, you know, the lessons that I've learned and just batting around you and I just with our ideas. But I also like the opportunity to, you know, kind of talk about this next direction, this new stuff that we're doing with the Comac Track Legal Conference, you know, where it's going on mobile, thinking about the future of the practice of law and what practically people can be doing. So I just want to extend a thank you for having me back on.
Well, as always, I appreciate you being here and look forward to seeing you at the end of September.
Sounds great. Thanks again, Neil.
Thank you. Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.